Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, you good-looking son of a bitch?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Feeling good?
I am. You know, if you haven't listened to the Toxic and Problematic podcast, you should.
Yes.
Last week's episode. Sometimes, you know, the world, the universe just smiles on you because Texas had that big deal about the porn ban, and we had the attorney on who represents Pornhub and
Silverstein.
Yeah. And
because I kept saying Silverstein, right? And he said no, it's Silverstein.
Now I don't know.
See, it's not, it's tough to remember. I think it's Silverstein, though, is what he said.
I still have I got a text from one of our buddies, Gary, who just texted in.
We have a buddy,
the record guy, who still listens all these years later.
Okay.
And he said, I had money on the fact when you guys ended that interview that Slim Fast would get it wrong again.
Yeah, well,
he's like, I had money.
First of all, it's me, so yes. But also, then when you're faced with that, and it's been like an hour and a half since you've said it,
you're gonna get it wrong.
You got a 50%.
I'll never get it right from this time on.
I think what is your instinct when you see that name spelled out? What do you
Silverstein.
Go with? Silverstein is what you go with.
That's what I go with normally.
Okay, because that's what I think I go with. So that's why I think I must have said, but I think it's Stein.
If you haven't listened to it, do it. Go to the Church of Laszlo podcast. Look for Toxic and Problematic, because he's on there, and I've been reading all last night and today. Kansas is doing it. They're following Texas's playbook, and, you know, Pornhub's going to ban Kansas.
Yeah, this is one of those things, and I texted Laszlo, said, look, you know, this is the downside of living in a state whose government functions a little bit better than my state, Missouri, because you know, you get the good and the bad. The good is you got the sports gambling, you know,
right
as it happened. They had that bill done and signed while Missouri's still over there going, oh, yeah, we need to figure that out and sign something. But also you get the porn ban thing. I mean, they went ahead and just pushed that thing right through the house. And whereas in Missouri, like, we've got four different ones we're working on. We still got to get that sports gambling thing.
Right.
So I'm sure it will happen in my home state. But the fact that it happened in Kansas so quickly after we just had this discussion, I mean, I guess it's happening a lot of places right now.
Right,
but
they're going to do the – you got to –
They're poised to require pornography websites to verify visitors are adults, a move that would follow Texas and a handful of other states, despite concerns about privacy. See, It's always about privacy and how broadly the law could be applied. The Republican-controlled Kansas legislature passed the proposal Tuesday, sending it to Democratic Governor Laura Kelly. The House voted 92-31. Wasn't all that close. Mm-mm. And the Senate approved it unanimously. Last month, Kelly hasn't announced her plans, but she typically signs bills with bipartisan backing, and supporters have enough votes to override a veto anyway, so there's nothing she can do about it. At least 8 states have enacted age verification laws since 2022. Texas, Arkansas, Indiana, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, Utah, and Virginia. And lawmakers have introduced proposals in more than 20 other states, including my state of Missouri. According to the National Conference of Whatever, weeks ago, a federal appeals court upheld the Texas age verification requirement as constitutional, and the Oklahoma House sent a similar measure to the Senate. So, how will this one work? Does anyone know yet? Because there are different methods, as we discussed with Corey. We were on a first-name basis with him by the end. Our lawyer buddy that we had on Toxic and Problematic this week, there's different ways of going about it. And some ways, I don't think he likes any of it, because his thing was it's unconstitutional. But he did agree that there were some ways that were probably better than other ways or less offensive.
Well, I think his way to do it, if you listen to the podcast, was that parents do it and they put
right. And I just said, though, like, if the government is going to pass these laws because they are doing it different ways in different states, do we see some that are worse than others? And, you know, he talked about in Louisiana, you have this card. It doesn't have your name on it or your address. It just has like a number, like a new. You know, it's like a VIN number on a car, so it shouldn't mean anything to anyone except that website that says, okay, this person is an adult.
We don't know that.
And so, we don't know, but supposedly all they're getting is something that says this number checks out, it's an adult, and that's that. But originally, that's not how they did it. Originally, the plan was, at least, to just use like an ID, like a state-issued ID, like a driver's license. And he said that there was a lot of fighting about that, and they eventually got to where they were, which is, again, if it's true.
Oh, don't
kid
yourself. People are saying as long as Reddit has porn. No, they're going to block porn. I just said Pornhub in general.
Yeah.
Because what Pornhub did in Texas was they were like, hey, this thing doesn't work. It's not good. If you want porn, you just can't watch it. So you can go to other sites in Texas as of right now. You just can't go to Pornhub.
Yeah.
But when this gets passed, it'll be everywhere. You'll have to put it in there. So when you go to Reddit and it says, this is adult content. Do you want to go to it? You're going to have to put in this ID number to go to there. Anything that they deem is adult content, you'll have to put in this internet card.
Yep. And that's another thing that will be interesting to see. I don't know if I'm sure there's details somewhere about this Kansas one. I didn't hear about the Kansas one until this morning, but so I haven't had too much time to look at the fine print. But again, different states might have different definitions of what is adult content. So originally, like Louisiana had said, if the website has, over this percentage of pornography, that's what they get clicks on, then you'd have to have an age verification. So, of course, when they were talking about that, everyone said, well, then you just make a bunch of other fake landing
Fortnite
pages
videos.
that no one watches. Well, but then would it be, they'll look at actually, what people are actually watching. Well, how the hell would they get that information? So it's possible that there could be websites, again, depending on how the law is written, where they say, all right, it's like a bar that a kid's allowed to go into because they serve food, right? And it's before 9 o'clock. I don't know. It just depends on how the state does it. Have you seen more details about Kansas's thing? Okay. Obviously, they did the same argument that they're trying to protect children from pornography online. And Oklahoma's saying the same thing. They've all said the same thing, that, it's had a negative impact on children's health and their mental health. And says, what is commonplace in our society is for a child to be alone with their digital device in their bedroom. Now, that's a Republican from Oklahoma, who's now trying to follow Kansas. In Kansas, some critics questioned whether the measure would violate free speech and press rights guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment. Last year, that issue was raised with the federal lawsuit over the Texas law firm, the Texas law from the Free Speech Coalition, a trade association for adult entertainment industry, which I don't know. I don't know if he has our lawyer buddy had any actual affiliation with them or not, but he definitely has represented a lot of different adult entertainment industries and entertainers. Yeah.
I did get something from Dan Osman, Kansas State Representative, District 48 in Overland Park.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a message and says, there is nothing, nothing we wouldn't do in the Kansas ledge to protect the children, Laszlo.
Okay.
Except Medicaid expansion, fully funding special education, increasing access to child care, or easing burdens on access to food stamps. Those are just needlessly grow big government.
Nice.
So there's someone out there who gets it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
This says the Kansas bill will make it a violation of state consumer protection laws for a website to fail to verify that a Kansas visitor is 18 if the website has material. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
This is in quotes. If the website has material, quote, harmful to minors.
Mm.
Well, that, boy, I mean, that seems broad, does it not?
Yeah.
The attorney general then could go to court seeking a fine of up to $10,000 for each violation. Parents also could sue for damages of at least $50,000. Under the existing Kansas criminal law, material is harmful to minors if it involves nudity, sexual contact, sexual excitement, or sadomasochistic abuse. Boy, that's a big jump there.
Mm-hmm.
We went, you know, nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement, and then sadomasochism. What about, they keep saying in all these states, I've heard another
thing. Isn't that crazy, too? You can sue the porn company, but you can't sue the gun company.
Right. Right.
Think about that, because, well, porn hurts kids.
And that's why, you know.
And I'm sure
Pornhub
it does. I'm
like,
just saying, like, it doesn't kill them.
Right. And I'm guessing that's why Pornhub is, you know, one of the reasons they're like, no, we're not going to sit here and take lawsuits from you guys. We're a global company. We're not even based in the United States.
Right.
Sure, they make a lot of money here.
They make a lot of money elsewhere, too,
but
though.
They probably make a lot of money elsewhere, and they could take a stand. And when you own enough porn sites, as they do, you know, I think it could start to upset voters. Will it be popular with voters?
Oh, man. That state line's going to be crazy. Just dudes on the other side masturbating. Dudes on the other side gambling.
That's
just switching sides.
Exactly right.
I
got to
go over here and rub one.
Yep.
I got to go over here and put one on the Dodgers. Well, like, okay.
We've already got the 45 exit for gambling.
Have masturbating to baseball.
Yeah. At least the gamblers have some sort of an excuse. Everyone thinks it's funny. But when we see those Kansas plates lined up on that off-ramp,
you know.
Then we know.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
All right.
Middle class, that's the American dream, right?
Yeah.
I saw last night, there's a question that pops up on Reddit a lot, and it's something, you know, what is something that used to be only for the rich, but now everyone can afford it? Right. And you see it a lot, you know, computers and all those things, but I saw the reverse of it last night, and they said, you know, what is something that people used to be able to afford, and now is really only for the rich?
Homes.
And one of the top answers was, remember when, like, every middle class person you knew, or at least a lot of them, had a lake house or a cottage?
Oh,
or
yeah, yeah, cottage.
Whatever that weekend home was, a lot of times on a single
all
income.
All my friends had cottages.
Man, I had so many friends that had lake houses,
mm-hmm.
and they were saying, you know, and the thing that happens is those things get handed down now. They've been handed down to, like, their grandkids, and they're worth millions. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly right. Like, yep. I know those people. Those places, I hear stories about how they bought them for 40 grand, 50 grand, and now they're worth 1.1 million yep. or whatever. So do you think you're part of the middle class? Sure. Right? I mean, I'm
sure.
I think. Well, I saw these articles, and they were talking about if you are part of the middle class. So if you answer yes to that, there's a good chance that depending on where you are in the middle class, if you're an average middle class citizen, you will not be able to afford some of these things within the next 5 years.
Okay.
I'll go through them quickly. Extended family trips, like, you know, especially going out of the country, forget about it, but even long trips just to get that time off of work and then on top of it to pay for Disney, something like that.
Yeah.
Disney was another thing I saw on that list, actually, something that they said used to be more affordable. I don't know if that's true or not, but that it's gotten more expensive.
Well, my dad used to take us every year. But
yeah, I'm curious if you adjusted for inflation, if it is any more expensive.
I think it is.
Okay.
I do think it is.
I haven't been, so. New cars.
The last time, well, not the last time, but I went to Disney one time. Unreal. With my dad and my boys. They were young. I've been there since then, but it doesn't matter. But my dad pulled out a general admission rain check ticket.
Oh, man.
From, like 1979.
Oh, man.
And he had it in his wallet this whole time. He's like, I wonder if they would take this. And just as we're walking up and we're buying tickets, and he just hands it to the person. They're like, oh, rain check ticket.
Boom.
Here's your ticket. No questions asked.
Wow.
He was like, wow. Like, we didn't think, you know. I was like, how much was it then? He's like, $19.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm like, it's $149. And I was like, yeah, they just gave me a ticket.
That's what you do. Buy your tickets now, get a rain check, mm-hmm. and then wait for those prices
sell
to
them.
Soar and sell them. Exactly. New cars, they say people in middle class won't be able to afford those. I think a lot of people who think they're middle class can't afford a new car now.
Well, I think they do, but they put themselves in a lot of debt.
Well, right, they might do it, but I think there are also plenty of people who think I can't do it. I mean, yes, the cheapest new car, we've looked this up.
Yeah.
It might be the Nissan versus whatever it is, it's around 18,000. Like, that's But that's if you can actually find that version. So we're talking like $20,000 is really the cheapest, and really low 20s if you go into any dealership. That would be the lowest you would expect to find a brand new car, something in the low 20s. So, you know, you might be able to pull that off.
The average price of a new car in Kansas is 34.
Right, that's the average. Yeah,
the average price.
The average transaction price continues to soar. And I saw at one point it had gotten to the $40,000 mark.
Now it says $47,000.
Okay.
You know, that's once you get out of...
It's crazy. Private school tuition, they say middle-class people won't be able to afford. I would think plenty of middle-class people can't afford private school tuition. Now, I don't know what different private schools cost. Maybe some are somewhat affordable, but I always think of them as being extremely expensive. Yeah. And really, I've thought my whole life is private school is something for kind of the wealthy, or at least the person making several hundred thousand dollars a year, something like that. If you can afford that.
But I think there were, like, yes, there were, like... You know, I had buddies who went to school, like, it doesn't matter, but it was like, you know, like the Barstow equivalent, like Orchard Lake St. Mary's is what it was. Mm-hmm. It was like Barstow, if you mixed Barstow with Rockhurst.
Okay.
So it was like super smart, rich kids that they also recruited football players.
Okay.
All right? And so that was like, you had to be rich to go there. It was on a golf course. It was crazy. On a lake. But then there was also private schools like Redford Catholic Central.
That's what I wondered.
And that was cheaper. Expensive. Like, I wanted to go there. I went and took the test, got accepted, and my dad wouldn't send me.
Okay. Yeah, there are
cheaper schools.
Because he's
like, why am I going to pay for you to go to... Which made sense.
Yeah.
I couldn't even argue with him. He's like, you got three D's on your report card.
You know,
I'm going to pay this money for you to go to school to get D's. And that's when I really just kind of checked out. I'm like, you make a good point.
Yeah, I'm a bad investment for everyone.
Right.
Other things that they say that people won't be able to afford within the next 5 years is basically... real estate in general, being able to buy a home at all, which the average age of someone, forget the second home, the average age of a home buyer, I just watched that skyrocket over the last like 15 years.
They're going to price us out.
Well,
it's big companies.
And now you got these companies that are buying up real estate.
They buy everything.
Congress isn't doing anything to stop it. So, you know, they're buying this stuff up. They're renting them out.
What they buy is entry-level homes. They're not buying my house.
Right.
They're buying entry-level homes.
First-time
Why are they doing that? Well, because the 7% interest isn't anything. If they loan you the money, it's nothing compared to the $2,000 a month rent that they're going to charge you.
These corporations can just buy these things up. They've got the capital. They can just, you know, I don't think they're getting loans on a lot of these places. You know, they're paying cash for a lot of these homes.
I have buddies who work in real estate, and they say, like, they list a house, in entry level, and they'll just get 60 computer-generated offers.
I get at least
that are just like, yo,
two texts a day from someone asking, you know, I'm sure it's computer-generated trying to buy my home. So, okay, so those are things that you won't be able to afford in the future. Also, just, you know, retirement. You can forget about I think they called it leisurely traveling retirement.
No,
that's not going to happen. A lot of people will just end up working. So, the signs that you may already not be in the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is middle class? It depends on who you ask. This article uses the American Institute for Economic Research. Is this a percentage going to be going to your necessities? Is this percentage going to be going to your... And so then you break it up. Do you have enough left over? And that's going to vary greatly depending on where you live. If you live in New York City, then you'll have to make more money to be middle class than, you know, if you live in Kansas City, for example. So signs that you are already out of middle class. You ready? Keeping track of this here. Self-perception. Do you have the self-perception that you are middle class? Because if you have that, then that can be something. It's almost like the secret,
right?
If you believe you are, it's kind of like you talk about those people at the rallies thinking, I believe I'm pretty close to being rich. I'm poor right now.
Yeah.
But one of these
days... That's a tough one for me to buy into. I do believe in that, like... Act like it and talk like it, and it will happen. I don't think that's a secret.
Yeah.
Because I think even if you just put the thought in your mind, like if you put the thought in your mind, I want a Mustang.
Right.
And you said that every day, you'd start to make little changes to get there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. It may not be a lot, but you'd be like, oh, I'm going to order Instacart. You'd be like, you know what? I want that Mustang. I'm going to go pick up the groceries myself. It would be little things, and you get closer to that. That's the secret, I think.
Yeah.
It's just reminding yourself of what's most important to you.
You're focused on it.
That said, I don't think I can just be dirt-ass poor
and
be like, I'm in the middle class. Yeah. Like, no, you're not.
You'll know. Yeah, you'll know, and that's what they're saying.
So I don't know if that's, you know.
Well, that's what they're saying with the self-perception. There's a good chance that you do know, that you're accurate.
Right,
so the next one is, do you use your emergency money regularly or even constantly.
Yes.
So if you have that savings account that's supposed to be for a rainy day, but you're using it to pay bills, you're using it to buy groceries, you're using it to get caught up on your car payment, then that's a sign that you are not in the middle class, which I'm thinking, who's not doing that?
My emergency money is credit.
Right. For a lot of people, it is. And I mean, middle class, how many people are actually saving this money and not touching it at least a few times a year to pay bills? I would think that most people, living paycheck to paycheck is the next one, and not really being able to save, which is kind of the same thing. If you're using the emergency money, I assume that you're living paycheck
to paycheck.
You're
actually behind paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. Obviously, I mean, this one seems obvious, but if you are not able to cover your just monthly needs, if you have to always put something off, be late on something, cancel something to pay for something else, just those basic things that you think kind of are the minimum that you need, then, you know, yeah, that's a sign that you're not in the middle class. How much access to credit do you have?
Right.
Oh, boy. That's a bad one, right? So do you have access? Can you get a credit card with $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 worth of credit on it?
Well, I can't get one now, but I got one with it.
I got one when my credit was good. Boy, that really, you know, took a turn there. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit ironic. Yeah, I worked a long time to try and get my credit up, and eventually it got good. And then I just thought, my ex was like, you should just ask the bank for a credit card and just see. I was like, I can't get credit cards. I was so used to not being able to get any credit. She goes, no, I'll bet your credit's good now. So I called, and they're like, oh, yeah, here you go. And it was like a $35,000 limit. I couldn't believe it. Still paying that sucker. Owning a home. Do you own a home? Which is
Jenna Davis says, sometimes woke up and decided to call me poor today.
Hey, I'm not the one doing it. Trust me, I read this and I'm thinking a lot of the same things. Owning a home. If you own a home, doesn't necessarily mean that you're middle class, but if you don't own a home and you'd like to, it could be a good indication that maybe you aren't middle class. I also saw the Gen Z and the ones after them, but Gen Z were the ones being polled, and they said, is home ownership part of the American dream? Is it important? Is it a necessity? If you're going to fulfill the American dream, do you have to own a home? And it's amazing how that number has dropped over the years, at least according to this one poll, that a lot of young people say no. It's not even on my radar. It's not something I think about, whether it's because they don't think they can ever afford it, or it's just because, you know, their parents didn't think they could ever afford it. So now it's been passed down that they just think about renting, find a good place
to rent. That's it.
I can't imagine having to fix stuff. I hear Laszlo and Slipknot talking about how expensive their home repairs are.
But that's how you get there, that you get there by taking away entry-level homes.
Yeah.
You know, there were entry-level homes. Like the idea, you know, my dad bought a home, and I guess to some degree when I did, but it was changing clearly. But, you know, you buy a smaller house, right?
Yeah.
You live in it for a little bit. You build equity in it. You sell it. You take that equity. You buy a bigger house.
Yep.
And then, you know, you do that once or twice, and then you got your house to live, and then you sell it and you retire.
Yeah.
That ain't it anymore because you can't get in.
Right. You can't get in.
You can't get in. You're right. Like, you know, it's a velvet rope. You're not in.
Right.
You can't come in here and pick up a house for $100,000. That ain't it.
Well, not only that, if you're, as we said, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, your credit probably isn't going to be good enough to get that home loan to begin with, even if you found a place that you could afford. It's tough. You know, all these different things when they talk about your credit, you know, do this, don't do that. Get a credit card, but don't use it. Have available credit. You know, all those things. And I mean, yes, those things are real. But what it comes down to at the end of the day is how much money you make. Because if you can make good money and have bad credit, for sure.
Sure.
But if you make under a certain amount, I feel that, I don't think they're supposed to, but I feel that they know.
Well, they take a risk. And it's true. I mean, I get it. With someone like me, like I got a house and I have a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
I have a car that, you know, doesn't have a ton of miles on it and should last for years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. I mean, lower my credit score.
Right.
What do I care?
Exactly. Exactly. I just leave me alone now.
Suck it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's what I think.
Make
there is 400.
I don't care. Make it 300. I don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, I literally don't need it. I got some credit cards. They're open. I pay them on time.
Yep.
Whatever. Reload your credit score. I'm like, I don't care.
I'm already in.
I already owe you the money. You're not going to just say I can't pay you my mortgage.
Yeah. It's when your home needs repairs that you're like, okay, now could I get some of that?
Right. Emergency funds.
Yeah, emergencies. The thing that I didn't know is.
But if you don't pay your credit cards, you can put that towards an emergency fund.
True.
I mean, I'm just being honest. Look, somehow the credit cards, you know, those companies And I told you this when we first met. Those companies making it somehow like you borrowed the money, so
like it's from your grandma.
You owe the money. Like, you're not my friend.
Yeah.
When I borrow money from my mother or from my friends, they don't charge me 27% interest, and they don't go around and tell everyone else that I didn't pay them back in a month.
Right.
You're a douchebag, and you lent me the money because you wanted to make 29.
Gobs of money.
So me not paying back a loan shark does not make me a bad person. Me not paying back my father makes me a bad person. When you gave me that credit, you charged me 29%. Why did you do that? Because you knew it was a risk. So what you can't do then is back me into a corner and tell me I'm a bad person. I'm not a bad person. Life happens. I didn't pay you. Well, too bad. You took a risk. All those times I did pay you at the 29%, you didn't call me and say I was a good person.
That's right. And beyond that,
don't do that.
I think they know when they give you that 29%, he's probably only going to make payments for this many years, this many months, whatever. So if we have this interest rate high enough, it should cover what's bound to be an unpaid bill there at the end. And that's why we're only going to give that person so much credit.
I mean, I'm not that to me, them doing that, like, you know, making, we lent you the money, you should pay it back.
Yeah.
You didn't leave me the money at free.
You're not my grandmother. Exactly.
No.
What I didn't know is when you buy it.
This is a business decision. Both of us are making business decisions. You thought I was a risky bet, so you charged me 29%. Well, you know what? You were right.
I was very risky. Yeah. So, see
I'm
you
so
later.
Risky that I'm not going to pay you.
See you in 7 years. Exactly. I didn't know that when you bought a house and you get locked into a rate, I thought, like, okay, this is my interest rate. This is my mortgage. Mm-hmm. So this is what I'll pay for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that could go up, you know, like in my case, it went up like over 50%.
Right.
Because of property taxes being raised. Like, wait a second. I thought this was my mortgage, and the whole thing is it's not like rent because I signed it. It's 30 years, and all I had to worry about was, like, the car, right? That's the thing. No, that stuff changes, too.
Right.
But I still do think that getting the home, if you can get your foot in the door, and look, it was easy for me. I bought in the recession, which you need recession sometimes so young people can get their damn feet in the doors. But I do like it. It stresses me the hell out, but
I get that report of what they say I could sell it.
Yeah, exactly. If you've got equity in it and there's something to it. I mean,
there is. That's also one of the reasons why I'm like, you know, if I don't pay my credit card this month, screw off.
Right.
If worse comes to worse, I'll sell the goddamn house.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Whatever. I've got, you know.
Yeah.
If you can get into a house and start paying down that thing, that is an emergency fund. That's the way I look at it. That's my emergency fund. If everything goes south, I just sell that thing, buy a one-bedroom condo, and there you go. Now we're clean.
And I'm not trying to brag about owning a home. I'm saying that I do think it should be a priority of the government, of everyone, of society,
to get people in homes.
To help young people buy homes.
The problem is, now they're not.
They're doing the opposite.
The opposite.
It makes me angry.
Right, me too. They're getting you out of the entry-level home market because they're selling to these companies that then want to rent them to you at $2,000 a month.
Yep.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo. What's going on?
We're doing the news, my man.
All right.
Well, the big story of the day, I guess it's a feel-good story for somebody, is that someone in New Jersey won the lottery. They're going to be very, very rich. I don't think they'll be a billionaire with taxes, but I'm not exactly sure because I don't know what the installments, but I think they said the lump sum is over half a billion, which is still pretty good.
Well, the excitement's been building for several weeks now, but this morning we finally have a winner. A Mega Millions ticket won, worth a staggering $1.1 billion, was sold in New Jersey. This is the fifth largest jackpot in Mega Millions history. Of course, we don't know who won that massive prize yet. And actually, we may never know because in New Jersey, lottery winners are allowed to stay anonymous. If the person chooses the one-time cash payment option, it's worth $537 million.
Okay, now, but here's where it gets interesting because in New Jersey, you can remain anonymous. You mentioned that. But the ticket we do know was sold at a spot next to one of Trump's resorts, near Trump's property. So He's got a golf resort in New Jersey, and the ticket was sold somewhere right in
Trump
that,
won it
in that area. Well, what if he did?
That'd be crazy.
The crazy thing would be too if he won and he took the lump sum. It would have been enough to cover that original one. Now it would be enough. He gets to keep a few hundred
million. That
would
absolutely happen
in this universe timeline. Yes. I mean, it's absolutely something that could happen. I honestly, of all the crazy stuff that's happened, if Trump won that thing.
Yeah, I'd be like, of course.
Yeah, and I wouldn't think that it was rigged. Mm. I wouldn't think that he stole it. I would think, no, he won it. He bought a ticket. He had someone buy a ticket there. Now, there could be some sort of lawsuit if he sends someone to buy it, that whole thing.
There'll be drama around it.
Yeah, of course. There'll be some sort of drama. It would be much weirder if there wasn't. But no, it wouldn't be crazy. So someone around there, at the very least, look, it probably wasn't Trump. I mean, just statistically speaking. But could have been someone who's playing golf at one of his resorts.
Yeah.
Depends on how close this place was. They act like it's right there next to the resort. So I just imagine your way to play around or you're leaving.
Well, hopefully
you're
it's a worker.
Drink. That's true.
Yeah, hopefully this it's a worker on the way home.
Yeah, that's true. So the Supreme Court was supposed to hear this case about mifepristone, however you say it. It's the abortion pill.
Right.
Remember there'd been this thing where the court had said, you know what, we're banning it. Because the FDA lied. They were just trying to ban abortion access. So they banned the pill. And then a higher court said, oh, no, wait, you got to pause this because I don't think that you're right. And this needs to go up to a higher court. So it was supposed to go to the Supreme Court. They're now saying the Supreme Court looked at this. And this includes the conservative justices who saw this. Apparently you're saying, yeah, this you guys don't have a case. Not only do you not have much of a case, but when you take something to the Supreme Court, there's usually someone that is the quote-unquote victim, right?
Right.
The defendant, the person, or not the defendant, but the person who's been harmed. So when you listen to those podcasts about how the Supreme Court works, if there's a issue that they want brought before the Supreme Court, they wait for something to happen to someone. So it's like, okay, we want to sue this company. We just need to wait for someone else to get hurt by this company. And then we'll use that person because we think that they would make a good person to put in front of the court. And the Supreme Court justices have said that the people who are against this pill, the people who are bringing the case, that they don't have any victims because they're saying that the pill can hurt people. But the problem is these doctors don't prescribe the pill. They're against the pill. They're against abortion. So they don't even use this stuff.
Were you struck by the fact that even the conservative justices in this case weren't convinced?
And not at all convinced. I think it is highly likely that they are going to reject this effort to limit access to the pill because they seem most concerned that the group of advocates who are against abortion, the doctors, don't have the standing to sue because they haven't been harmed. These are not doctors that actually prescribe mifepristone. They're the ones that are saying we're in the emergency room and we might see side effects. And for the justices on that court, even the conservatives, that is not enough. That does not show harm.
Okay. It looks like they are all quite skeptical about this case and that maybe mifepristone will continue to be available.
All right. So, I have a news story for you to wrap it up.
Okay.
All right.
Uh-huh.
And someone said it on Twitch and I laughed and thought this can't be true. Well, maybe you know about this already. Donald Trump is selling Bibles?
I did not know that.
Donald Trump selling Bibles. Now, at first I thought, okay, this is a joke, right? Donald Trump selling Bibles sparks fury from Christians. Former President Donald Trump's latest venture, selling Bibles, has sparked the fury of Christians. Not all Christians, obviously. Trump, who became the presumptive Republican nominee, posted a video on his Truth Social platform on Tuesday. And this is, you want to hear what he said?
Uh-huh.
Happy Holy Week. Let's make America pray again.
Trump said this?
As we lead into Good Friday and Easter, I encourage you to get a copy of the God Bless the USA Bible that him and Lee Greenwood are selling.
Oh, I did see something about Lee Greenwood selling God Bless. I didn't know that Trump was actually selling them.
Trump wrote on the post alongside a link to a website selling the book for $59.99.
This a $60 Bible. I thought it was Lee Greenwood selling the Bibles. What? I thought Trump was selling shoes. I mean, I know
and
he can
steaks,
sell
yeah, shoes and steaks and Bibles.
Oh, is he still selling steaks now too?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Christians vote for him. Some Christians, the Christian right, voted for him. But do they love voting for him? Or like, do they want to buy a Bible from him? I guess I could see old people, old grandma, grandpas who love Trump. Maybe they buy.
I mean, all
Bible.
These people who are talking smash trash on him don't seem like Trumpers, though. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They seem like Christians who didn't like him, or
the same ones
people
who
from the Lincoln
the
Project.
Church.
You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, So there's nothing holy about selling Bibles endorsed by Trump. More blasphemous grifts. See, like you say more, that tells me you didn't like the other stuff he was doing. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I can't find anything from like someone who supported him and then is like, oh, this is too far now. I can't.
Right. Like, especially a Christian who would say, yeah, I support him because of Supreme Court, whatever.
Right.
The liberals are depraved.
Right. I can't find anybody who's like, yeah, I can't find anybody who supported him who's not supporting him now because of it. I'm guessing they're all buying.
I guess I'd be more interested to find the person who is buying, the person who's excited about it and buying it and what their reasoning is behind it. Obviously, they just love Trump, but the Bible thing, sure, add it to the collection. I mean, his shoes, when I saw that he was doing shoes, people laughed about that. I thought it was a decent idea. People love shoes.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't want to attack sides here, but you know, maybe the audience that he's going after, they might think some of those shoes are kind of cool.
I like the gold ones.
The gold ones were kind of cool. Yeah. Also, what about just sneakerheads or people who collect tennis shoes because they think they're going to be worth money? Well, the Trump shoes might be worth money someday. Yeah. And sure.
We got to sell a Church of Laszlo Bible.
Has he had a lot of things?
What are we waiting on?
I don't know where to get a Bible. Just take $49.99. Just get a Bible and
get it made to say Church Laszlo.
But get a cover on it? Does it do anything? You could write the foreword. That would be great if Trump wrote the foreword for the Bible.
The
Trump, instead of the student edition.
Hey, listen to these stories from my buddies.
What these different
some
passages.
Crazy ass.
What these passages mean to Trump. I'm looking at the stuff that
Make America pray again. This guy, man.
It says his vodka is not around anymore. I kind of thought his vodka was still around. This says that his steaks aren't around, but this is also his sharper image steak, so I don't know. Of course, the college, that got in a little bit of trouble. His board game. I was at someone's house for a housewarming thing a few years ago, and they had the Trump board game. I wonder what those go for on eBay. Have you ever seen it before? It's like, what was the name of his show? The Apprentice. The Apprentice board game. It was a big board game box. So I don't know. They don't sell those anymore. I would think that would be worth some money. Bottled water. He sold bottled water.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I forgot about that. I know that he sold menswear. This is talking about how he sold menswear.
Oh, yeah, he's always sold ties.
I have a Trump dress shirt that I got at a thrift store. But I didn't know that Trump's clothing was gone. Now, this just says in this article that maybe Macy's doesn't have it anymore, but maybe he doesn't sell it anymore. I do have my Trump shirt that I bought at the thrift store, so maybe that'll be worth something on eBay one of these days. Do you own any Trump stuff? You got anything?
I don't.
No board games? You don't own The Art of the Deal?
I don't.
Did you ever own it?
No. I think maybe when I was real little, I might have, I mean, not real little, but like, you know, elementary school, I might have had Trump cologne, maybe?
Okay.
Maybe, but I don't remember.
It's, yeah.
It's something you could buy in like CVS. You know, it was like preferred stock, Stetson, Trump. It was that. I think I might have had that when I was little, but I can't be certain.
It says he used to sell mattresses, that he had a deal with Serta selling Trump mattresses, but that deal expired in 2015. I have no recollection of the Trump mattresses. Here they're talking about the cologne. Says cologne and deodorant, but the company that was doing, at least this company, cut ties with them in 2015. Much of the remaining inventory was listed on sale online at up to 50% off. So there you go. I'm sure there's other things. I'm pretty sure he made probably part of his clothing, but I'm pretty sure he made glasses too, like frames. This says he also made lighting, like actual light fixtures. You could buy Trump. Well, sure. You know what? If you're selling Trump home stuff, I guess it's not the craziest thing in the world.
I can't find a link to buy it.
To buy the Bible?
Yeah. Official Trump
Probably.
Store?
Do you have to go to his website? Where were they selling the shoes? Weren't they selling the shoes through his website?
Maybe Truth Social. I don't belong there.
Well, did you hear about the Truth Social deal? It sounds like he's going to make a lot of money off of this Truth Social deal.
Yeah. Well, he already did.
Like, is it over? It's done?
Well, I know. It went up to like $70 the other day.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's selling it.
How's that legal? I have no idea.
I don't really get it either, but you know what, man? It's America. Plus, he might have just won the lottery in New Jersey, so.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo,
yo.
What's going on?
Well, so today I see, which is not unusual to see Ozempic in the news. Ozempic, Wegovy, these weight loss drugs. By now, most people know the names of the drugs and the actual semaglutide, and that it's a GLP-1, whatever the hell that is. We've heard all those things. about a million times in the last 12 months. And the latest news is that women are getting pregnant taking Ozempic. Now, of course, my first thought was that's not possible. But I guess what's happening is women who've had a hard time getting pregnant, also women who are on birth control.
Yeah, I've heard that it will, you know, it is one of those things that will make your birth control
less effective.
Yes.
And, you know, as far as these women who've said, I've had a hard time having children, like one of the women that they had on the news, they were saying, you know, this is so-and-so. She's had a hard time having kids, and she got pregnant. Yet then they talk about how she has two other kids. Like, so I'd like to dig into that a little bit deeper, but apparently people are getting pregnant. I think they just look for a reason to get this stuff in the news whenever they possibly can.
I stopped the medication at 3 weeks when I found out I was pregnant.
To say despite infertility issues or birth control, they're getting pregnant.
I got pregnant on a GLP-1.
Including Deb Oliviera.
It's very welcomed. It may have been a shock and not at all in our plans, but we're open to it.
The 32-year-old Michigan mother of two struggled with fertility, including two miscarriages and a stillbirth.
Deb, were you warned that these weight loss drugs could increase fertility?
No, I was honestly unaware until after I found out that I was pregnant.
If you Google Ozempic pregnancies, you will see endless stories about it. Ozempic, okay. Ozempic babies, they're calling them. Why is everyone suddenly getting pregnant on Ozempic? One of the women that I saw, Laszlo, she had a course, TikTok videos of her progress, and it showed when she was starting Ozempic. You know, like this is okay, going to be the before picture. Right. She did not look like she needed to lose weight. But she said later on that she was trying to lose 20 pounds. She just wanted to lose 20 pounds.
Okay.
So this is, forget about obese. This woman, I don't even think was really overweight, but she wanted to lose 20 pounds. How are people getting these drugs? I know you said there's some pharmacy online that's like a Swedish pharmacy or what was it?
There's places you can go to that are just weight loss clinics where you can get them.
But you go in and
yeah.
Okay. Because I'm trying to find how people are getting these online. I know that people have said
they've got them online, too. Yeah.
That you can get the doctor's prescription online.
Sure.
Yeah. If someone has done this, I'm curious which website you used, you know, just for entertainment purposes only. I'm curious.
Right.
Also, I'm curious what it costs. I've heard totally different things from different people, but it seems like the median price that I hear is around $1,000 a month. Is that what you've heard? That seems like a lot, but I know.
Yeah, maybe if you don't have, if your insurance won't cover it for you.
Right. And for a lot of people that I say a lot, at least several that I know who are taking it, I don't see how insurance would have covered it for them because as far as I know, they're not diabetic and I don't think that they were all that overweight, but
right.
I don't know how overweight you have to be for your insurance to cover
it. I don't know.
Maybe your insurance says, hey, this will save us a lot of money in the long run, even though you don't have diabetes. I don't know, but I assume that a lot of people are paying out of pocket and that they're getting these prescriptions online. Is it like $1,000 a month? That's what I'm curious about. All right, so Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Sean Puffy Combs, whatever we're calling him, he's had a very, very bad week. His homes were raided. I did see that his, you know, he said through his lawyers that this was like an overuse of the military-style police, something along the lines of what I was saying when I saw those TMZ pictures. But Laszlo sends me a story last night.
I was shocked by it.
Right when we got home. Well, we keep – new names keep popping up in the P. Diddy Combs saga. The big one that came out, I guess, yesterday or day before was that Cuba Gooding Jr.'s name – had been added because one of the people who had brought up complaints, this record producer, Lil Rod, he decided apparently right as the raid was about to happen that he was going to add Cuba Gooding Jr.'s name to the list, which, you know, is a celebrity. It's shocking. It's a pretty big deal. But then Laszlo sends me a story as soon as we got home last night about ex-Syracuse basketball player.
Man.
Who was allegedly
a drug mule
for Puff Daddy. How do you get that job? Like, I really can't do the math, Laszlo, of how you know, if he played in L.A., if he played in the homes were nearby, maybe Diddy's a big fan of the team. But if this is, you know, we're still getting all these names. If this is the newest name that we've got now as a college basketball player, ex-college basketball player, I saw the mugshots of the guy. You can't help but ask yourself, would you have said yes to Puff Daddy if he asked you to do some illegal things involving drugs? Would you have said yes in your 20s? You run into Diddy, and he says, I need you to deliver these drugs here. I'm not asking you to do the other illegal things that he's accused of doing, but the drug stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe the weapon stuff, whatever. You're trafficking illegal goods. Would you do it for him? Because I think the answer for a lot of people would have to be yes, because you got to think, well, it's Puff Daddy. Whatever he's doing, he's been getting away with it for a long time. It's not like this guy is some brand new star who just got rich overnight. So, yeah. Well, what's the real risk here? I probably won't get caught. But, you know,
Combs denies the allegations. His lawyer calls the raids a gross overuse of military level force.
Having heavily armed guards and officers searching a home is pretty normal. Some of the allegations against Sean Combs doesn't just involve sexual assault and human trafficking, but also the possession of firearms and drugs.
Meanwhile, one of Combs' employees, named in one of the lawsuits, was arrested Monday on drug charges. Brendan Paul is accused of previously carrying drugs and guns for Combs.
Now, we call him a mule, but we're not the only ones, because he was described by in this federal lawsuit as a mule, as a drug mule.
Yeah, that's
mule.
What they said.
Yeah, they well, actually, I don't know if they said a drug mule, but they called him a mule for sure. I don't know what else he'd be. I assume that's a drug mule, right? But maybe it was weapons and stuff. I don't know. But a mule for the rapper. The lawsuit filed by Rodney Lil Rod Jones accuses Combs of sexually abusing men and women and mentions Paul as an assistant and confidant to Combs. Can you imagine? Well, what if it's your kid? Your kid goes to play college basketball.
I don't understand. Yeah, he only played a couple of years, too, yeah. I guess.
And then, you know, things are going good, and then suddenly college.
Now, how did he find this kid playing basketball at Syracuse?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. Like, what's their link?
What's their connection? How did these two meet one another? And what did this kid tell his family? I say kid, I mean he was a young adult. What do you tell your family when they say, so what's going on with college? I don't know. What are you going to do now? Well, I'm working some odd jobs, because I don't know what it pays, what it would allegedly pay to be a mule for Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, but I'll bet it pays pretty well.
I would bet.
His name reportedly appeared 11 times in this lawsuit.
Let's see.
Filed in the Manhattan Federal District Court. Of course, goes back talking more about the stuff that we talked about earlier this week.
Now, the man arrested on drug charges at the Miami airport, Brendan Paul, is an amateur music producer and graduate of Fairmont State University in West Virginia.
It looks like he wanted to get into the industry, right? Which I'm sure Puff Daddy can help you do.
Yeah,
A lot of these people that are named.
Just bring in this cocaine, I'll teach you how to.
Right. It says that he was accepted to Syracuse after attending Brewster Academy, a private boarding school in New Hampshire. He later attended Hawken High School, a private institution in Ohio. So this kid was like, was destined. His parents thought he was destined for greatness. After recording 3 points from the bench across 16 games between his freshman and sophomore seasons in Syracuse, he opted to enter the transfer portal. He landed at Fairmont State for the 2020-2021 season, where he recorded 51 points in 2 years. His Facebook account shows posts about his desire to focus on basketball and producing music during the COVID-19 pandemic back in 2020. In September 2023, he shared photos of himself and Combs as they worked on the Love album. He wrote, "Been off grid, it's still love," in the caption, while posting a private jet in another set of photos in October, which I guess didn't. Oh, it just said visceral. That's all he said under the picture of the private jet. So he wasn't totally hiding it. It doesn't look like that he was hanging out in the music studio and around a private jet. But if they're getting their information from Facebook posts from 2020, 2021, the media still has a lot to learn about this kid as well. How do you meet Puff Daddy?
It says he was an amateur music producer, so however he figured it out.
How do you
maybe
get your
he's good
foot in
at
the door,
it.
Though? Yeah, but he went to these private schools. He goes to college. He's playing for Syracuse. Okay, sure, things don't go great. But then after that, I guess maybe it still could just be as simple as it always is. Who do you know? And he knows somebody who knows somebody. Maybe Puff Daddy had internships. Maybe you could get an internship at Bad Boy Records. I don't know. Maybe they did unpaid internships.
Maybe his parents knew somebody. He lives with his parents.
If his parents had the money to be sending him to these private schools that sound like they're pretty elite,
yeah, it does.
Then maybe they knew some people, right?
In the record industry or something, somewhere.
Maybe they owned
And maybe
a
he
home
was pretty good at it.
Yeah, and maybe he was pretty good at it. But then, you know, he became a mule.
Yeah, I did see a picture of something else strange. I'm not going to remember his name. You're going to kill me now. A movie director, Twitch will know, who couldn't get into his house.
I didn't see that.
Because they had pictures of a really famous movie director. Couldn't get into his house because Diddy's house was being searched. Just a picture of him
that makes sense.
Just standing there in the street talking.
Okay, because the street was blocked off.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't see
a picture of him in his car. You'll know who it is.
Oh, Ridley Scott, someone said. Is that who it was? Okay, yeah. Yep. Poor Ridley. The guy's like in his 80s. He just wants to get home.
He's in his car, and he's like,
He's got to know that Puff Daddy's a neighbor of his. I'm sure that
maybe
level,
not, man.
You don't think so? With the parties and everything else? I feel
but
like
those houses
people,
are pretty secluded. Like, they're in a neighborhood, but if you've ever been to them, like, you can't
I guess
even
it depends
house,
on which neighborhood. Because I'm assuming it's the one in southern L.A., not the one in southern California, not the one in Miami. But the aerial shots, it looked like, you know, whatever you call a subdivision of mansions, there's still quite a bit of space in between those.
There is, in
those
trees,
homes.
And they keep them pretty secluded.
But I would just, they do those Tour of the Stars and all that. If you saw a lot of traffic going down the street a lot when he was hosting these alleged parties, then maybe you figure out who lives there. I don't know. I don't even know if you really
just
know
like
your neighbors.
Yeah, they're all celebrities.
Yeah, you're like, who knows?
They're
some
multi-billion dollar homes.
I think he's in the music industry because I hear a lot of loud music and they seem young, you know? Ridley Scott.
A Hollywood director, 86, was seen speaking to cops while standing behind a cordoned off area marked with yellow tape.
Man, what a life.
That's why he's like, hey. Oh, yeah, the A-list neighborhood, people who had lived there are Frank Sinatra, Barbara Streisand, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, you saw pictures of Diddy's house, right? Of that house. It mm-hmm. looks, it look. If you told me that was Michael Jordan's home, I would have believed it. I mean, I know that Puff Daddy's rich. I didn't realize, I don't think, how rich.
A billion.
But, yeah, he's really, really, really rich, or he was. And, again, I go back to how long he's been relatively, I shouldn't say this, there's been a lot of drama in his life, and there's been a lot of different legal hiccups. But as far as, like, these big, huge stories, this all started within the last year. If you were in your 20s, then you'd probably go to work for him.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if he's offering you some sort of internship absolutely major access, and then you think everything's going good and suddenly says, listen, I just need you to do something for me. I've got this trunk, don't worry about what's in it, but I need you to drive it from here to Las Vegas.
Of course
yeah, I'll drive it, no problem.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo hey, I have this story for you. I think it's interesting. It's Ferguson, Missouri. We all know Ferguson, Missouri, right?
Yep.
Okay, so a Ferguson, Missouri family is suing the St. Louis County Police after a SWAT team raided and ransacked their home. Did you see that?
Yeah, well, I had it yesterday, I think, and we ran out of time to get to it, but it happened like a year or two ago, right? Maybe last year, but the details coming out now are pretty insane because it involved a carjacking, and the police are looking for these suspects, and they think, oh, we found them, because one of the things that was stolen was a pair of AirPods, and the AirPods find mine.
The car,
the car
was
stolen.
They told them, hey, my AirPods are in there. You should check it out.
Yeah. So they
go
there.
Now, there's one thing they said, that the husband and the kids were sleeping in a car outside. So I didn't really understand that. But apparently the cops pointed a gun at him and then went inside the house, ransacked it, punched a hole in the wall, turned over drawers, tore down the ceiling, all kinds of stuff, and then found the AirPods outside on the street.
In the street.
Because they figured out the car was speeding through the neighborhood. They saw the AirPods and said, oh, they'll track these.
Yep.
And threw them on the ground outside.
And threw them on the ground, which
then
makes
they ended
sense.
Up crashing it 6 miles away.
What doesn't make sense to me is that the police would say, hey, look, these idiots, they've got AirPods and they don't even know it, so we can use Find My. You'd think you'd need a little more like reconnaissance. I don't know what it is, but even if you're going to use that as a clue, which that part I understand, to just go ahead and execute a no-knock warrant and start kicking down doors and pointing guns at people. And I saw images. I assume that they were images from the actual raid. Maybe the media was just using those images to give you some sort of idea. But it looked like, you know, the
full SWAT
team knocking down the door. And there's so many of these stories. That woman that we had on the show, on the podcast a few months ago, that wrote the book about police and police reforms that are needed, That was one of the big things in her book, was how often these no-knock warrants, they get the wrong house. Like, it's bad enough when they go to the house and they're looking for something
dumb. They
said
they don't know right now, but did the cops tell the judge that?
Tell the judge that this is...
To issue the warrant, to sign the warrant. Right. So they try to get a warrant, and they say, how do you know that this is the place, right? You have to tell them. Do they say because there's AirPods in there?
I would think that
like, everybody knows those things aren't all that accurate.
Right, even if they hadn't thrown them out the window.
It could be the house next door, three houses down, or a different block. It gives you kind of where it's at. A lot of times it's very accurate, and other times it's not.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that it would be enough, which is what makes me wonder if they did include that, which I would think they'd have to. What else did they have? That I wonder if they told the judge, we've also staked the place out. You know, we've done some...
Right.
Some sort of a further investigation, and we have plenty of reason to believe it looks like that's where the suspects are. It's dumb. They get addresses wrong sometimes. Like, they'll go and they'll prep in the office, and they'll say, here's where we're going. And then they go to the house, and they go to the house next door. In the book, she talked about an old man. This guy lived by himself in his 70s. It looked nothing like the house that they were supposed to be at, which was the house next door. They'd had pictures of the house up in their little, pep rally before they go do this raid. But when they get there, it's like, they're so high on adrenaline that I guess they don't take the time to go, does this look like the house? Are we sure this is the right house? And in this instance, they're literally, at least according to the media, they were literally just using a pair of AirPods and the Find My app from Apple, which I don't know if the fine print and the terms and conditions says, but I seriously doubt that it says that it, is accurate enough that they back it for police warrants, to issue police warrants. How do they get those warrants from the judges? They do it in the middle of the night half the time. I don't understand, because how is a judge looking that stuff over, or is he trusting the person? He's supposed to be. But are they trusting the police department? Like, okay, I know this police chief or whoever it is that's coming to me. If he says he's got enough, this is the basics of what he's got. With that,
the DA has to go over it, right? The prosecuting attorney.
I would hope so.
I think they do. I think they have to go over it because they say, all right, well, this warrant will stand up in court. So either cops didn't tell him, or else a prosecuting attorney and a judge thought AirPods were enough to do a no-knock warrant.
What if they were vague? Instead of saying AirPods, said, we've used GPS tracking.
Right, exactly.
We've used GPS tracking, and then the judge thinks that they put a...
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of crazy that it took this long to come out, but it happens all the time. Yeah. Why are we still doing it? Especially for, anything short of, like, the Boston Marathon bomber, someone that's like a terrorist suspect.
Right.
Why do we do it? Why do they do it for drugs? Why do they do
it
for...
And even if they said, like, hey, we know the AirPods are there. Let's go check out that neighborhood. Look for the car. I get using it for
Go do some reconnaissance.
You don't just go bust down a door.
No, stake the place out for a while.
Right.
See if it's who you think it is.
Outside for the AirPods first.
Right, that you could do that too.
Now, why was the guy sleeping in his car? They just really smoothed over that.
I didn't see that part about the guy sleeping in his car. I just, it was all focused on what the police had used to locate this home and how it should have never been enough for them to get this warrant. And then, of course, just like so many of these no-knock warrants, they terrified people and destroyed a lot of stuff. So, I don't know. You know what we haven't done in a long time?
Ferguson would be cognizant of that, too.
You think maybe it's been enough years now?
Right, yeah.
They're like, okay, I don't think anyone's paying attention. Do they remember Ferguson? I don't think they do. We haven't had any arguments in a while. When's the last time we had some
arguments? That's a good one. Let's do one next.
Let's do some of that coming up.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
Come on, a good bargument. We haven't had one in a while.
Good old-fashioned arguments. So the first one, I've been sitting on this one for a while because I saw it a few weeks ago. But the question was, you get a 99% discount on blank for the rest of your life.
99%?
99% discount for the rest of your life. Yeah, it's on one single industry, which still seems like it could be open to some interpretation. But which do you choose?
Real estate.
I would think that that's what you're going with, is find the most expensive thing, which would be real estate.
Right,
and
that's
take the 99% discount. Now,
you could do cars too, I guess. But
if you thought, like, I can't afford real estate even at 99%,
someone
would loan you the money. I promise, if you're getting a 99% discount. So the top answers that people gave was entertainment. Okay. They're like concerts, movies, streaming services. If it's all entertainment, all that stuff is covered entertainment.
I mean, I get it, but sure, it feels like real estate is...
I mean, there's only 6% of people, so whatever, but still. Insurance. Boy, talk about a boring choice. 7% said insurance. Now, I get it. health insurance is expensive. Your home insurance.
Yeah, but if
also,
I'm making,
still,
if I'm buying a house for $10,000,
and I can afford Obamacare.
Right, I can afford whatever I want.
16% said they'd take the discount on utilities the rest of their life.
Seems like a waste.
Gas, electric, water, internet, all those things. 16% said taxes. So you get a 99% deduction on all your taxes. Okay, whatever. Maybe that saves people a lot of money. I mean, I think that rich people already know how to do that. Isn't that kind of what this whole Trump New York thing is
about? That's probably how you
get
rich, too. There's probably some argument to be made there, but not real estate still.
Right. For someone,
and I don't see how you would exclude real estate if you're going to put taxes in there.
Right. 20% said transportation, cars, flights, gas, even car repairs, all that stuff is covered. Anything involving transportation, it's 99% discount the rest of your life. Sure, you could travel the world.
Yeah, and I mean, you could buy a plane.
Right.
I mean, there is a lot of stuff that you could do there. I mean, it just seems real estate you could make more money on, but I get it.
If you're getting a 99% discount on real estate, you should be able to do just about whatever you want.
Exactly.
You'll be extremely rich. You'll be richer than the sharks. And the number one thing that people said were luxury goods, and that includes any type of luxury goods, computers, phones, clothing, all that
There's
stuff.
There's something to be said for that.
Goods.
You could, because you could maybe turn that quicker than some people. Like, you know, you could get a Rolex. You could sell a lot of stuff pretty quick. There's something to be said for luxury goods because the get-in fee and the get-in fee would be much smaller.
Much smaller. Yeah, if you're getting a 99% discount on an iPhone, you probably have the money in your checking account right now to pay for it.
And
if it's a mansion,
a Rolex,
might still need to get a loan. So, okay, moving on. Would you rather have a 100% chance of winning $1 million or a 75% chance of winning $100 billion?
75% chance of $100 billion.
You're going to take that 25% risk?
I am. The risk versus reward is so much. It's $100 billion.
Well, yeah, you'd be
if you said
$10
million, then no.
You'd be in the top 10
right,
richest.
If you said $20 million, then no. But you said $100 billion.
That's what they said, $100
Well, then,
billion.
Yeah, then you got to roll that. You got to roll that.
God.
It's a four-sided dice, and I get one, two, or three. Now, I know when four comes up, I'm going to kick myself in the ass, but you got to. Of course. Of course you do.
I see Measy on Twitch here says, give me the million. I need the sure thing. I mean, there's something to that.
I know there's something to it, but
that one in four chance that I get nothing, I would just be kicking myself. Now, would you be kicking yourself if you got the if you knew that you could have had the $100 billion?
Well,
you
never know, but still, you
got
to, I mean, the difference from $1 million to $100 billion. If you said $1 million to $10 million, then I'm taking the million, but it's $100 billion. I don't even know. No one has $100 billion. You're the richest person ever.
Yeah. Well, I think you'd be close. I think the richest people now are over $100 billion.
Over $100 billion?
It's crazy. Yeah, we were just looking at it yesterday. It's crazy. I didn't know that was even a thing until recently, but I'm pretty sure that they said the richest people were in the hundreds now, hundred and some billion. Okay, so what about you, Snow Cone? 100% million or 75% 100 billion?
What was the question?
You get a 100% chance of winning $1 million or 75% chance of winning 100 billion, which would make you one of the richest people in the world.
I mean, you're in Elon Musk, Bezos territory.
Yeah, exactly. You're up there now.
I'm going to take the 100 billion.
The chance, right?
The chance.
Yeah, I'm taking
the
chance.
Me too.
Yeah. It's just 75% is too good.
But the way my life is going,
but the
I need
difference
that
between
$1 million,
again, if you said $1 million or $10 million, if you said $1 million and $5 million, the difference between $100 billion, now you got to roll the dice. And if you lose, I actually go to sleep fine with it.
I can spend $1 million in a month. You know what I mean? $100 billion, I couldn't spend if I wanted to.
I couldn't sleep easy at night if I lost. I know it. I mean, there are people on Twitch, they're disagreeing. Some people say, no, 75% are great odds. Of course, 75% is a good chance. I get it. But that 25% is scary. Someone else said, agree with Lazo on this one. It's a 1 in 4 chance I live exactly the same way I do now.
Right.
I'm taking the chance.
Exactly.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Someone else said $100 billion is
if you
unethical,
said $10
million
or $100 billion, then I take the 10.
Yes.
A million isn't enough.
It's not enough.
Not to give up the upper end of $100 billion. I mean, your number is just too far. They're too drastically far apart.
I guess it depends on what, you know, like I need my air conditioner fixed right now. You know,
no.
I could just get that stuff done.
$100 billion.
I
don't know what you could.
Yeah, like Nerdwurm said on Twitch, $100 billion liquid. which is, yeah, I would say, more than Elon Musk and Bezos.
Right, you
have.
Would be, you'd actually be the richest. Someone said that they would take the million because you can invest the million, and it's pretty easy to make money.
I don't think it is.
Especially if I need some of that money right now. I don't think that investing.
Hey, if that's so true, then take your $10 and turn it into $100,000.
Right.
If you can take a million and turn it into $100 billion, no, you can't.
Well, I don't think they said $100 billion, but they're saying you could a million could go a long way. You just invest and it adds up quickly.
Just invest your $20.
But I don't think that I'm going to need some of that money now. If I'm taking the million, that's because I need some of the money now. So I don't know. I mean, they say the first option is guaranteed money that would change your life. $1 million is going to change your life. The second option, though, makes you one of the richest people in the world. But of course, there's that chance of getting nothing. So they asked, I know we're just looking at our stream here on twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo, but they polled over, I think they were about almost 2,000 people, and most people are saying, by a small margin, but most people are saying they go for the $100 billion. About 52% saying they take the $100 billion, 48% saying that they would take the guaranteed money.
No.
Ugh, I still haven't made up my mind yet. I just
how do you not make up your mind?
Because I got to take the million because I would kick myself if I lose that lose that money. If I get nothing, I'd be suicidal.
You'd live
seriously.
The same life. You'd be the same person. What do you mean?
Except that I live my life knowing that I just handed over $1 million because I got greedy.
But it's not like you just gave up. Not like somebody offered you $1 million and you said no.
Right.
I did.
You gambled $1 million. For $100 billion.
Right.
Like I'm just saying, it's like any sort of gambling. It's like it costs me $10 to win $100,000. You have to do it. Like, it's math. It's literally math. And right. I know the $1 million goes in your pocket. That could change your life. But there's no way you make that decision. Your cost is zero. And even if you say your cost is $1 million, which it isn't, it's still $100 billion. $100 billion. It's like, I don't even know the math there, but it's like 100,000 times larger, greater prize.
It's a lot more.
Yeah. 100,000, a million times greater prize. I don't know what it is. You have to do it.
But $1 million would be 1 million times more than what I have right now. So I take the money. Look, I'm not the only one. 48% of people said it's almost split down the middle.
I think they're all dumb.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I get it. But and you say that it's not like saying no to $1 million, but I do think of it that way because the person saying, I'll give you $1 million right now, or you can take a 75% chance that you get $100 billion. Roll this dice here.
Yeah. Of course.
I mean, that to me, if I lose, if I am in the 25% and I don't get the money, I do see it as I gave up. I said no to $1 million because I was 100% guaranteed $1 million. That's not gambling. To be guaranteed something up front, you know, to have a lot more than what I have right now, you're never guaranteed to get a bunch more money up front than you have right now, especially 1 million times more than what you have right now, guaranteed.
But I get it. Whatever. We're not going to agree on this because you decided. But and I understand, but your math is completely wonky. If I said it takes all your money that you have right now, everything you have liquidated, right? Everything. Sell your house and everything. And I'm going to let you play a game of roll the dice. And 1, 2, 3, you get 100 million times the amount of money that you just put on the table, or you lose your money. Roll the dice. Like, well, what am I doing here? I'm selling my house and everything. Somebody said right now, sell everything. And that is worse than what these people are offering you. They're offering you to stay the same. I would sell everything I have and put it on the table for a one dice roll where I have a 75% chance to make it.
I get it. You guys are all in on the $100 billion. I hear your argument for it. It is a
but you don't
much
because you're just
greater,
wrong.
A much greater
you're just
sum.
Wrong.
That's the problem. Like Conrad Crackman said, I can work really, really hard and make $1 million. I could catch a few breaks. I could invest some and make $1 million. I can never make $100 billion. Never.
Right, but
never.
Also, if you can work really hard and make $1 million, it's not going to be right now. You're not just going to have that $1 million suddenly on hand. That's different than saying I could work 100 years and over time.
You could never make $100 billion.
No, but I understand that. Look, I'd rather have the $100 billion, but right. I can't take that chance. I need that $1 million, baby. I'm taking the
That's
money on the table.
That's why your AC is always going to be broken.
Taking the money on the table.
That's just bad math.
The Church of Laszlo.
I can't even stay around here anymore. It made me so angry.
About the money thing earlier?
Yeah, it's just, it's infuriating.
I'm not the only one.
Well, I mean, sure.
I'm not asking you guys, I'm not forcing you to make the same
just
decision.
Just because you're
not
like 30 minutes ago, and he's still mad about
right.
it.
Right, I'm not forcing you guys to make the same decision that
I know.
Made.
I'm just saying, it makes me angry. I'm allowed to be angry. You can't tell me how to feel. You can't regulate my emotions.
I'm not asking
it
you to
it. Makes me
it.
Hate you.
Okay, I'm just saying I don't fully understand why you would be so angry when it's not something that I was asking you to do. It's something that I said I would do, and I wasn't alone. That's all. I'm taking the money on the table. That's it. I hope.
Don't start.
Odds say that you guys, one of you,
don't
will win $100 billion, and I hope that we're still friends. And
we are not.
Well, oh, because I chose the million?
Yeah, if I win the $100 billion, you get nothing.
Okay.
If it's all
so
three
all
of us.
This changes now.
Of course. All right, what about if it's the three of us?
Well, if it's the three of us, we all have to take the shot at the $100 billion. If we're going
to
share.
What do you mean?
We're
of
share.
Course we have to.
No, if like if we, I assume what he was about to say is if it's all three of us doing it and we're willing to share some of the money, then we'll, then take the shot at the $100 billion, of course.
Yeah.
We'll agree to all three take the shot at it. Yes, I'll join you in that. I mean, odds say that someone's going to win that $100 billion.
Well, see, this is where I totally disagree now. I don't even, like, we're not even...
Well,
if
you
all
already
three of us had the opportunity, and they said all three of you had a million, then one of us should take the million and give the other two $333,000. Mm-hmm. This is why your math doesn't work.
Well, we could
and
do
why
that,
you
too.
We could do it.
Yeah.
No, that's what
that's
we're going
to
do.
That's not what I thought you were getting ready to ask, though. I thought you were going to ask if all three of us had to take the shot at the $100 billion.
No,
we do
they
it?
Give us the same option.
Okay. Then, yes, I would
one
do
of us
that.
Would take, one
if
of us would take
us
a million,
takes it,
right?
Sure. Then, yeah, I would do
then
that.
Then the other two roll the dice.
Yeah, I'll do that.
I don't even know who to say goodbye to.
I'm agreeing with you.
I know, but now I can't.
Who's the richest man in the world right now?
I don't know. Who's that dude who played for Syracuse?
Oh, what was his name?
He's the richest man in the world?
No, but he's having a bad day, that's for sure.
He should have been.
I don't remember.
Paul.
There you go.
Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.